Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our toll-free number, 800-823-8255. Our website, ronwilsononline.com. Facebook page, In the Garden with Ron Wilson. Don't forget all that stuff. And I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy. We are talking about gardening. By the way, if you go to our website, you will find 3 plant picks of the week this week. One of which, one of my favorite flowers, and it can be a naturalizing plant in our area, but it's easy to grow. Great little flower on it, and you get a lot of them. You don't see it planted very often, but when somebody sees it, they're like, what is that thing? And then they want it. It's called leopard flower or blackberry lily, sometimes a common name, but check it out. As a matter of fact, I had someone email me this past week and said, hey, we were back, I think, around their creek or something like that in the backyard, and I realized that this thing came up. Never seen it before. Can you tell me what it is? Because they will come up from seed. And, you know, it looks like a lily. So it looked like it thought it might be a tiger lily. It's it doesn't look like a day lily. Looks like some kind of a lily. Well, they were kind of right because the name is blackberry lily, but it's not a true lily. As a matter of fact, it's a member of the iris family. And they've gone back and forth on naming and changing the genus species of this thing. Nevertheless, just remember blackberry lily or leopard plant, or leopard flower sometimes it's called, but really cool plant. And again, first year flowering, really nice foliage, kind of has a sword foliage, kind of like iris has. So check it out. But I like it. It's a great, and it has also little black clusters that look like blackberries, which is where the name comes from, the blackberry lily. That you can use for cut arrangements, dried arrangements, things like that as well. But again, it's hardy through zone 5, but check it out. You'll love the little flower. It usually starts to come on about midsummer or so. You kind of deadhead it to keep it going, but they'll give you a multitude of succession of flowers. The flower itself doesn't last very long, but it's always putting out new flowers, kind of like a daylily, always putting out new flowers for you. So great, mid to late summer bloomer. You'll love it. But again, check it out on our website. Joe Strecker, his plant of the week was the sunflower, the most recognizable flower that's out there. Everybody should plant sunflowers. Everybody should plant at least one little patch of sunflowers in your yard. Every time you look at a sunflower, you smile. You can't help but smile. And the birds are all smiling, and the pollinators are smiling because they love sunflowers for pollinating. As a matter of fact, bees, they found out some research, bees get a special something from the pollen of sunflowers that helps to build up their immune system. So that's a little added benefit when they're pollinating sunflowers. And, of course, the birds can't wait for those flowers, which are those are all a multitude of flowers in that head, turn into seeds because then they'll love the seeds for later on. But sunflowers absolutely say smile, don't worry, be happy. Everybody should have a patch of sunflower somewhere in their yard. They're absolutely gorgeous. And then, of course, there are other plant of the week because it's that time of the year, lichoris. And you know what Lycoris is? When Lycorises are in bloom in your area, you get to drive down the street with somebody who has no idea what they are and say, "Hey, look at that naked lady." And then you spend their head around trying to figure out what it is. And then you point out the beautiful pink flower, and they're like, "Yeah, you're weird," which we knew that anyway. But that is our top pick of the week is naked ladies. And, man, am I seeing those everywhere in our area in southern Ohio. So, you know, again, check it out. It's a great plant. And, by the way, if you want to plant naked ladies, the best time to dig those up is in the spring after they're finished with the greenery. The foliage starts to die back. You can dig them up at that time. You can also wait till they're finished flowering and then dig them up at that time and transplant. They don't like to be moved. It takes them a while when you move them and put them in the ground. It takes them a while to reestablish, but they will. They'll come on for you. They'll come back. It takes a couple years. You start to see a little bit coming on, and then they start to spread that clump out again. I saw a clump, mass planting of those where my daughter used to live on the street. That was a strip between the side of the driveway and the edge of the property. And somebody had been planting those for a long time. This thing went the entire length of the driveway, and it was about 3 feet wide. It was gorgeous. They don't last very long, but it was absolutely gorgeous when they were in flower. But anyway, that's our three plants of the week. Check those out at RonWilsonOnline.com. I also want to thank my good friend Mary from Coleraine. She's always sending me pictures, great pictures of plants flowering in her property and their turkeys and all kinds of stuff. She has a really cool place. But she sent me pictures this week, one of her naked ladies, obviously. Great bee house that she has there for the native bees. But one of those plants is starting to come on now that is a good fall bloomer for the bees. Joe Pye weed, and, of course, ironweed blooming as well right now, kind of telling you that the summer's now coming to an end. You'll see it coming to an end going into the fall. Good indicator plants for that. And also growing ginger. Ginger's a really cool foliage. But great growing. So she's got me a picture of her ginger, Joe Pye weed, and naked lilies with a bee house all growing in the same area. But wonderful shot. So thanks for sending those, Mary. Always appreciate the pictures. And I appreciate it for anybody that sends pictures of their gardens or their plants or whatever's going on. It's always great to hear from you. So feel free to email those to me. I love seeing the pictures of what you're doing. To Kentucky we go. Aaron, good morning.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Aaron.
I got a question. You were talking about hydrangeas, and it made me think. I planted three hydrangeas in my front yard. One was like an antique-looking flower. It was kind of like a pinkish thing. It comes back every year, blooms all year long. But the pinkish color one, the old hydrangea-looking thing, and the light bluish color one, come back, the green foliage is there, but the flowers never develop. What's going on there?
Well, when I was talking about the hydrangeas, the one that I talked about that I'm not in favor with as much anymore, those are called macrophyllas, hydrangea microphylla. And the flowers are pink or blue, depending on the acidity of the soil. It's in the soil, it's the aluminum that causes them to turn different colors. So if you want them pink, you let them be alkaline. If you want them blue, you turn them it's more acidic soil. But nevertheless, those particular hydrangeas, the flower buds for next year overwinter on the stems. So if they die back over the winter and you wind up having to cut back, you know, the dead stems, which you have to do because they're dead, you lost all of the flower buds. So you get all of this great foliage that comes up, and they look great. And sometimes you get a flower or two around the base of the plant, and maybe later in the summer you get a flower or two at the top of the plant. But for the most part, it's just green. Well, that's a macrophylla, and that's what they do. And that's why I say I haven't found any that are really, really consistent in our area of coming back every year and giving us good flowers. So unless you protect them. So if you want to protect it, Aaron, you can put a chicken wire cage around it, fill it up with leaves and straw and things like that over the winter, take that off in the springtime, and you'll be good to go, and you'll have all your great colors on it. But if you don't do that and you have any kind of a cold winter or up and down cold in the springtime, those buds all die and you lose all the flowers. But the other varieties don't do that. So that's why I say I've gotten away from the macrophyllas and stuck more with the paniculatas and the quercifolias, and that's, like you said, the old-fashioned hydrangeas.
Okay, right. Well, I know the chainsaw is out now.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, thank you.
Unless you're going to protect them every winter, that's what's going to happen.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Aaron. Good talking to you. And it's an unfortunate thing because, you know, there's so many great colors. And some of them, L.A. Dreaming is multiple colors. And that seems to overwinter fairly well for us. But, again, you know, you got to protect them. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you want to make sure you got flowers the next year, you got to protect them. I got a picture from someone that had planted. It's one of the Endless Summer selections. And that was a big thing about Endless Summer series was the fact that it was Endless Summer because they flower all summer. And it was a macrophylla. So if it did die back, they also flowered on new growth, old growth and new growth. The problem is that by the time the new growth comes up and they start to flower, it's September by the time they start to actually produce flower buds again for this year. So you get a little bit around the base and you get a couple on the top and that's it. So, but again, you get in other zones where the macrophyllas do great. You get up in the northeastern part of the United States where they do absolutely wonderful. And you see those macrophyllas all over the place. The climate is just right for them there. But for us, a cold snap in the winter causes them to die back. And probably the biggest bad part of them that kills them back is the ups and downs in the late winter and early spring. They'll start to bud out really early, and boy, you'll get a cold snap in the late winter, early spring. Takes them right out, unfortunately. Or we prune them back and not knowing, and you prune off all of the flowers. Anyway, if you're ever confused about pruning, give me an email, and I'll send you back a tip sheet on when's the best time for pruning your hydrangeas so that to make sure we don't affect the flowering for the next season. Quick break. We come back. Chris, you're coming up next. Phone lines are open for you at 800-823-8255. It's all happening here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Got gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Jaws, the Just Add Water System, has my favorite refillable household cleaners and the best glass cleaner I've ever used. Jaws has a cleaner specifically designed for every room of your home. The Jaws Ultimate Cleaning Kit includes 6 of their high-performance cleaners for every hard surface in your home, including my favorite glass cleaner. Each kit comes with 2 refill pods of each cleaner, along with color-coordinated microfiber towels for only $49.99 and free shipping. Get Jaws cleaners at JawsCleans.com. Dirty exterior? Well, don't scrub it. Wet and forget it. Wet and forget the easy outdoor cleaner. Wet and forget works over time with Mother Nature to eliminate unsightly black and green stains on the exterior of your home with no scrubbing, power washing, or bleach. Use Wet and Forget on all your outdoor surfaces, including decks, siding, roofs, and patios. Wet and Forget's available in a concentrate or extreme reach hose end. Purchase Wet and Forget in a store or online at Lowe's, Menards, or Ace. Whether you're relaxing at home, at the lake, or hitting the road this summer, Tear Mender is your best travel companion. It's an adhesive for repairing tears in all types of clothing, fabrics, leather, vinyl, footwear, and buttons. Tear Mender can repair outdoor furniture, fabric, awnings, umbrellas, tents, and backpacks, even boat cushions. It's one product you gotta have this summer. Tear Mender's available at your local hardware store, Amazon, or find a store at tearmender.com. For more make, do, and mend solutions and ideas. Hi, Gary Sullivan. Trust me when I say that Roller Rock Hard Stone Coating is the best way for you to cover your dull concrete and transform the look of your home in a weekend. Roller Rock Rollable Stone Coating from Deich Coatings is a tough stone coating that has been successfully installed on millions of feet of exterior concrete in all extreme climates, and it's designed to last. So go and plan your next project at DeichCoatings.com. That's DeichCoatings.com.
Welcome back here in the garden with Ron Wilson. Last week we had on Mary Phillips. She's the head of the Garden for Wildlife at the National Wildlife Federation. An announcement that came out last week about the monarch butterfly now being added to the endangered species list, the monarch butterfly. Trust me, we don't want anything to happen there, folks. And, you know, when you build a garden for the monarch butterfly, you're also helping out all the other butterflies that are out there and all the other pollinators that are out there. But the big thing is for the monarch is planting milkweed. They'll feed on, they'll lay their eggs on most all the milkweed. They love the tuberosa. I still think it's one of their favorites, but they'll lay the eggs on most all of them in your area. Check out, go online for your state, particular state, see what all the species, native species are of milkweed for your area, and you'll find a lot of them being sold at your local garden centers. They can also be planted from seed, but, it's a plant it and they will come. And it's very, very important that we do everything we can to get the monarch butterfly off of that endangered species list. So, helping out. You know, we talk about helping out the pollinators. We've been doing this for years, but now we've come to this where, you know, it's actually listed on the endangered species list. So, don't want it to happen. Do everything you can in containers, window boxes, landscape, trees and shrubs, vegetable garden, so many places that you can plant to increase the habitat for all these pollinators, especially the monarch butterfly. And again, the milkweed, very, very important part of this whole thing. Start replanting milkweed wherever you can, please. And let's get the monarch butterfly off of that possible endangered species list. We don't want to become extinct, do we? No, we don't. Back to the gardening phone lines to Massachusetts. Chris, good morning.
Morning, Ron. How are you today?
Great. And yourself?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good.
I was thinking about using a product for grub control,
yes,
like the Bonide Grub Beater.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained it to me that kind of gets absorbed into the grass, and then anything that eats the roots, that's how it would kill the grubs.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too late in the season for that, for Massachusetts?
For the grub preventers, no. As a matter of fact, we're still putting those down. I mean, I think beetles have been running late this year as far as them coming out and laying eggs. So, you know, June and July are typically the best 2 months for putting down the grub preventers. August can still work for you. You want to get it down as soon as you can. So we're looking beginning of August. We're still there. I think the important thing that you want to remember is when you put that down is to make sure you get it watered in well. That's a key for that to work for you. And what's good about when you do the preventers is that you're taking care of them in a very early stage. So basically, damage-wise, they do little or no damage whatsoever because at their very young stage. So, and again, you'll never get all of them. There's always going to be a few grubs out there, but these do a pretty nice job for you. So timing-wise, you are still there. June, July, and into August, no problem. Once we get into September and we start to see actual grub damages, realizing now that the grubs are in the soil, then we look for just a straight grub killer that would be a put it down, kills them right now kind of a deal. But that's after we realize that we've got some problems there, and that's a last-minute thing for the season. But, no, right now you're good to go.
And would that be on the more environmentally friendly type of product?
Yeah, the thing you got to remember about using these, and I think with Bayer, if you don't have anything flowering in the garden, in the yard, like clover or anything, right?
I have a tiny bit of clover here and there, but not much.
All right. So, you know, the thing that you, as far as protecting, is that when you put that down, you water it in. You may want to mow the clover so it doesn't flower, so any pollinators, for a few weeks, so the pollinators can't, if any of that would move into the flowers, they wouldn't be affected by it, but otherwise should be good to go.
Well, that's fantastic. The one other option that I do have would be the acelaprin.
Yep.
And I have been reading that it appeared that was a pretty good environmentally,
yep,
friendly insecticide.
That it is. And the other one you're talking about is probably imidacloprid than the other one. So, yeah, the acelaprin's becoming used a lot more, and it is, as far as being environmentally friendly, Yes, not as toxic, absolutely. And doing a pretty good job.
As far as the environment is concerned, the acelaprin would be the way to go?
I would say, you know, if you're looking at comparing them as far as environmentally, I would probably lean toward the acelaprin, yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good talking to you.
Make it a great day.
All right, you too. Yeah, and acelaprin's out there for you, and it's, again, read the label, check with your garden center to see if they have it. And, again, whether you're using the acelaprin or the imidacloprid or whatever you're having to put down, the key is getting it watered in. If you have any kind of thatch or whatever in your yard, if you don't water that in, it just kind of gets hung up at the top, doesn't get down into the soil. You must water it in. So if you see not downpours but a chance of showers moving through, putting it down just before the showers. Otherwise, setting up the irrigation system, setting up the sprinklers, getting it watered in, and then going from there is the best way to go. But, you know, sometimes folks say, well, it didn't really do a whole lot for me. It does, but again, the watering in it is a real key. Before we take a break here, I just want to remind you also, for you folks that are doing vegetable gardening, a lot of things you've been planting going into the fall season, and you need to get some of these in right now. Arugula, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage, carrots, lettuce, mustard greens, spinach, turnips, those are all great things that grow when it's a cooler season. Cilantro. So be thinking about that as we're going into late August, September, and October for your fall vegetables. Quick break. We come back. A little home improvement with Gary Sullivan here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
How is your garden growing? Call Ron now at 1-800-823-TALK. You're listening to In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Wilson here for Unkers Old Time Remedies. You know, summer's here and we'll be spending more time outdoors. That means more allergies, more bug bites, poison ivy, and the aches and pains from working in the yard. Unkers products can help soothe all of those things associated with being outdoors. I've even heard you can use it on your pets. Unkers prides themselves on only using the highest quality ingredients, including 100% pure essential oils. Visit their website, Unkers.com. Get Unkered, your medicine cabinet in a jar.
Cat urine smell everywhere? Well, anybody who's looked at new homes turns around and runs out of the home when that pet smell gets to them. Painters say paint over the urine. Carpenters say remove and replace everything. But don't use Odor Exit Eliminator. It's the only solution. Just spray or saturate pet urine, people, and mice urine too, and eliminate urine smells on contact. Odor Exit's the answer. It's safe. Just aim and spray. Buy now at OdorExit.com. Get 10% off OdorExit.com.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson, and it's time for the man, the myth, the legend. He is the most listened to home improvement show host in the entire solar system. His website, GarySullivanOnline.com, has more information about home improvement than you could ever imagine you could find on a website. It's absolutely outstanding. His show, same way, always filled with great information, absolutely outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of absolutely outstanding, here he is, the one and only Gary Sullivan.
Well, I'm a little lightheaded after that introduction.
Got your head spinning?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So how's things?
Good. You?
Charming. Charming.
It's been hot.
It has been.
Been hot.
It has been. You've been staying cool in the house?
No.
No?
In the house, I work.
I know. You can work inside too.
Oh yeah, I have to admit, I probably spent a little more time in the office this week than.
There you go. Yeah. There's some.
I had some things to rewrite. You know, I'm always rewriting tip sheets and upgrading and updating and.
Things are always changing.
They are. You know, I was talking to Ron Rothis earlier, and, you know, he was at a big tree conference this week, and it's just amazing how things continue. Finally, you know, good research in the plant industry.
Uh-huh.
And finally, you know, some of this coming up, and you're learning more and more all the time. So, and I know same thing with home improvement, new products. I don't know how you don't, your head just doesn't spin
all
right
off
your head like The Exorcist.
Well, you can't know everything, but there's a lot out there. There's a lot changing, and then you got supply chain issues. Then you got pricing issues. It seems like lumber prices are going down. So,
yeah, they
one
are.
Thing that's kind of happening.
I had to pick up a few pieces of lumber the other day, and it didn't seem like it was quite as expensive as before.
Yeah. Not as big of a sting, huh?
So they actually did let them go back down.
Yeah. It's a commodity, right?
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, they always keep the high price.
Finding all the things on flowers and stuff that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On one of my early morning walks this week, I noticed some of the ash trees in our neighborhood. And all our streets were lined with ash trees 20, 25 years ago, Ron. And, you know, I'd say half of them just got wiped out when the emerald ash borer. And some people treated them. Some people did not treat them. But I was noticing there's still a lot of ash trees that I don't think were treated that are a little disheveled looking, but they're not dead.
I think the thing you have to remember, and there are some ash trees out there that I've seen that I don't think were treated either, and they're still going. But, you know, ash trees were also vulnerable to other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were other borers that got into ash trees besides the emerald ash borer. There were leaf diseases, you know, anthracnose and things that ash could get.
Mm-hmm.
And do remember, the emerald ash borer is still here. So
right.
If they
in
didn't get it.
So?
Well, no, obviously the populations have gotten lower, but they're still here. So, you know, therefore those ash trees could now be getting hit again by the emerald ash borer. So, I mean, again, you have to look at it and see, but there are other. The thing it was always interesting at the very beginning, you know, was we can treat your trees, protect against the emerald ash borer.
Right.
But the kicker was, you know, some people, even though they were treating it for the emerald ash borer, would still lose an ash tree. Well, there are other things that took out ash trees besides emerald ash borer. So, along with the systemic insecticides that they were using and still are, the triage, especially the last two or three years, was again plant health care.
Yeah, okay.
You know, feeding and watering and keeping it as healthy as possible to protect it against other things going on there. So,
right. And my other interesting question, because, you know, we're always talking about the walk around the house, and I do it from a landscaping perspective also.
Every time I use that phrase, I always think of you. And he's by walking around, because it applies to both.
So the beautiful Japanese maple that I have in the back, and it is beautiful, it's like 23 years old now. And last year I told you about this time of year, the leaves kind of shriveled up and started falling. I thought the tree was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it popped out, beautiful leaves, and everything's been just great. And in the last week, it just looks like half of the leaves got hit by a blowtorch.
Do you water that?
Yeah, I've watered it.
Yeah.
Maybe not as extensively, but it's just weird. It just looks like the leaves got fried.
Well, you know, if I look out at our nursery right now at some of the Japanese maples that are not under shade, they are a little scorched at this stage, or can be, from the excessive heat, sun.
Well, it's against the brick, kind of tucked in, but, you know, when you say
that's actually the north side of the house, too, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it gets a late afternoon sun from the northwest, you know, in the height of summer.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was not enough water. It was just interesting. It was last year it seemed like it started in early July. This year it's like early August since it started.
You know what? I think that I'm seeing, you know, like, and Joe Boggs may correct me on this, but like apple scab on crab apples where we see them just defoliate. I just think the last 2 weeks it really started to hit hard on some of the crab apples where they normally would have done that way back in late June, July-ish.
Right.
Where it's just now really starting to show on a lot of these. So,
well, I think everything in terms of even insects, disease, seemed to be about two to three weeks late.
Yeah.
I mean, you had mentioned Japanese beetles. I think we talked about carpenter bees, which I deal with a lot. Those were almost a month late.
Yeah.
Usually we start getting all kinds of calls in our location probably early May, and it was like early June. It was like mid-June.
I still have one or two buzzing around.
Do you?
Yeah. Every now and then I'll see one show up and doing its thing.
Get your tennis racket out?
No, I let them do their thing.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm just that kind of guy.
Well, in a rabbit saga, you know, how we always battle the rabbits, building a little rabbit hole in the front yard.
You found one?
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, there's a little patch of dead grass. I went, oh, boy. Better not tell Sue.
Yeah, really?
Going down there.
Is it within shoe? Is it within shoe throwing distance?
I didn't tell her. I just. Yeah, it sure would be. They're on the ground though. It's hard to get their shoes down there.
I love it. Hey, thanks for the article, by the way.
Oh yeah, what do you think of that?
Yeah, so I paint now. I'm going to paint my room based on the house plant that I have in it.
Yeah, that was a new twist. I thought you would enjoy that.
Yeah, so that makes my house plant blend in better with the wall colors.
So, is that someone just writing an article, or do you think that's really true?
Yeah, what was I? You know, at first I was like, "Is this serious?" And it
was.
That's
kind of what I thought. Yeah, that's why I sent it to you.
Yeah, it was like they were serious. Like if you're going to do a pothos, here's the colors you need to have the wall.
I don't know about sunshine yellow next to my mother-in-law's tongue plant. I don't know if I would. You know, do my entire home decor.
Maybe just
based
the wall
on that plant.
Maybe just the wall that it's up against.
I guess. I wasn't really fond of the colors they chose to go with the plants.
Well, you know what? I wasn't either.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe
that was
me.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, when I looked at that, I went, well, okay, but does anybody have that many plants to change the whole decor to your house?
Yeah.
And I think this is somebody just writing an article to be writing an article. And then I looked at all the colors and the plants, and I'm going, oh, man, these colors don't even jive.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're on the same page. Anyway.
I thought it was legit, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, somebody was being serious.
Oh, there's no question.
Articles
are opinions in most cases, right?
Well, sure.
So somebody had an opinion that you ought to take a look at it, and I disagree.
Yeah.
That was my opinion.
So what happens if I bring another house plant in there?
You got to paint your wall, I guess.
So I got to paint the wall all over again.
Yeah, welcome to Sherwin-Williams.
Or I'll have...
I think that's what
Please, Mr.
article.
Wilson, are you back again? Did we add another plant? And then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to change my color, you know. Today's article they put out was how evergreen fog, their color of the year last year,
right,
changes colors in light. So if you get, you know, morning sun coming into the room, it looks like one color, and then the evening, it looks like another color. Guess what?
What?
Every color does that.
Oh, I was getting good. I thought
every
you were,
color.
I
does.
Thought you were like, because I was thinking to myself, I thought all paint does that.
Sure, it does. That's why we always tell people when you pick out a color for a room, take a look at it out of the store where they have LED lights, fluorescent lights, natural light, you know, diffused light. I mean, it all looks different. Well, of course it looks different in the morning, in the evening, depending on how the light's coming in. If you turn on the lights, it's going to look different.
Right.
Not dramatic. Well, sometimes dramatically even.
Well, yeah.
But it'll look different. Yeah.
I think our living room, and we did this, what, 3 or 4 years ago, is a gray, one of the shades of gray. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Sun coming up in the morning, nighttime with the light. It's all different.
It's all different. It really is. So the evergreen fog's the same way, and they were writing it out like that particular color was so cool. It changes colors all the time. I'm going like, hey, give me a break.
So what are you going to talk about today?
Jeez, I think I've talked enough. I'm already in trouble.
Yeah, really?
We're going to talk about, and we're going to stay in the paint category.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about stripping paint.
Stripping paint?
Yes.
Hmm.
How about that?
I hate doing that.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'd rather paint than strip paint.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of really cool paints out there now for removing adhesives, for removing paints, where you can actually even do it inside. And with the weather like it was last week, who wants to do it outside?
Yeah, really. Ugh.
That's one of the things. And, of course, take tons of calls. We'll do some energy-saving tips and the whole works.
As usual, tons of information.
We'll try.
You always do. Gary Sullivan. Again, his website, GarySullivanOnline.com. Coming up next, Buggy Joe Boggs here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome
Cat urine smell everywhere? Well, anybody who's looked at new homes turns around and runs out of the home when that pet smell gets to them. Painters say paint over the urine. Carpenters say remove and replace everything. But don't use Odor Exit Eliminator. It's the only solution. Just spray or saturate pet urine, people, and Mike's urine too, and eliminate urine smells on contact. Odor Exit's the answer. It's safe. Just aim and spray. Buy now at odorexit.com. Get 10% off odorexit.com.
Well, our friends at Awesome are working hard to make your cleaning jobs easier. Awesome works to remove gunk and goo caused by biofilm buildup in jetted bathtubs, spas, swimming pools, washing machines, garbage disposals, and shower drains. Black flakes, bad odors, and slow drains are history when the power of Awesome is unleashed. Awesome is non-corrosive, septic safe, and works fast. I've been using Awesome in my home with great results for years. Proudly made in the USA. Get it clean, keep it clean, get Awesome. AHHSOME.com.
Welcome back here in the Garden with Ron Wilson. By the way, Gary was talking about the different colors. Pothos, if you have a pothos plant, the wall should be a chartreuse. A chartreuse. If you have a fiddly fig, the wall should be a navel, which is a really dark blue. And if you have the mother-in-law's tongue, it's black. It's a blackberry, which is a rich purple. Don't know about that. And if you have bugs on there, just fly strips, I guess, will work for you. We'll find out, because it's time for the Buggy Joe Boggs Report. Mr. Joe Boggs, Assistant Professor, Commercial Order Catch Agent for the Ohio State University Extension, OSU Department of Entomology, website bygl.osu.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, Buggy Joe Boggs. Whoa.
Wow.
Cut him off.
What? They just fell off the bleachers. Is that what happened?
No, Dan.
We don't have a lot of time,
Dan,
so I just cut him off.
We don't have time. He said, cut him off.
He said, that's the end of that.
That's the end of that.
Wow. This is a time of year when the vegetable gardens can be looking bad, right?
Can be.
Yeah, I was out yesterday. I was at an undisclosed location, just say that. And man,
so
I'll tell you.
So you were in somebody else's yard and they didn't know about it?
No, it was a collection of teaching gardens. I'll just say that. And it just, you know, it occurred to me as I was there taking pictures, you know, as I do, that, man, you know, you can enjoy, and we all say this, I mean, plant a vegetable garden if you can. You do container gardening. I mean, all the things we teach. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you may have a label on that garden, you know, Cape Disappointment, right? I mean, between bacterial wilt of cucumbers, you know, or and melons, you just say cucurbits, right?
Right.
To bacterial spot on tomatoes, which I'll tell you, Ron, this year it seems to be just going, a lot more frequently throughout, you know, Ohio and elsewhere. We're hearing this from others, bacterial leaf spot, you know, bacterial spot, and also have cankering and so forth, much more so than other diseases from what I'm seeing. And it's really, you know, affecting the plants right now. To, of course, eggplant and flea beetles, right? You know, you just say eggplant, you're going to get flea beetles.
Well, flea beetles, they kind of come with it.
They might. I don't know. It seems a very early insect. But, you know, yesterday I got one of the most beautiful pictures of a squash vine borer.
Oh, moth. Really?
Yes, I did. And that then sort of put in a little wrinkle in my understanding of squash vine borer. And it turns out, in just doing some looking into it, of course, you and I have talked about this a bit before, the idea being that a good management technique is to plant squash and zucchini plant late.
Right.
And that still holds true, Ron. I mean, everything I'm going to say, I don't want people to think, well, wait a second, that's changed.
But it reminded me that basically Ohio, Indiana, and points south can have two generations per year. You'll read this, and when I say Ohio and points south, probably where we are in Ohio and Indiana and, you know, West Virginia and points south, two generations. Above us, let's say probably Interstate 70 across the United States, one generation per year. And so with the idea of two generations, then even the late squash could be affected, but not nearly as much so as if you could imagine. If you plant squash early, you're going to get hit twice, right?
Right.
Two generations. So just kind of, all I'm doing is just, I guess I'm kind of just getting it off my chest, because it's like, oh man, this is really disappointing.
Really?
It was good for me. I was able to get all my vegetable shots of pests and diseases to use for quite some time, update many of them, like squash bugs hatching from their eggs. Listen to what I'm saying.
In
one garden area, yes, let's say that. One garden area. It was a teaching garden area.
Okay.
And I will say it. It was on the OSU campus. It was actually at a location where they do a lot of teaching. Mm-hmm. And so they don't do a lot of spraying, obviously. Right. And some of the some of the ability to manage the pests are a bit limited because of trying different things. So you see what I'm saying? But I'm also, hearing this from our master gardeners, and some of these things, I will say this, there's a very common squash bug, for example, squash vine borer, the cucurbit problems. To some degree, it's helpful to move things around, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you like zucchini, and we tend to forget this, when we say cucurbits, and we call it squash bug, but they can also get into cucumbers, they can get into melons. Bacterial blight, or the collapse of the vascular disease caused by a bacterium, that's across the family as well. And to a large degree, it's cleaning up at the end of the season. It's maybe tilling. And, some folks don't like to till because, you're disturbing soil structure. However, right. If you're growing cucurbits, and you've had a problem, for example, with squash bug or squash vine borer, turning the soil at the end of the season helps to get rid of what's going to overwinter. Squash vine borer, for example, overwinters in little cocoons, not too deep in the soil. And so if you bring them to the surface, they won't make it through the winter. And so some of these things that we deal with have to do with what we do at the end of the season to get ready for next season. And in this case, for example, they have a lot of ground cover. I mean, what am I talking about here? Like black plastic, that sort of thing on the ground, mm-hmm. that they're not changing out. And of course, that's just, again, it's a teaching garden. Whereas in a home vegetable garden, it's just a good idea at the end of the season, don't walk away. And we do that. When I had a big vegetable garden, I hate to say this, at the end of the season, it's like, oh man, I've had enough, right?
Right.
And I'll get ready next spring. And you got all these dead vines hanging out there, kind of looking at you through the winter, adding ornamental value.
And your neighbors looking at you saying, why didn't they clean that up?
It's winter interest. That's what I always
used
to
say. That's it.
All right. Hey, you take care, Rod. I hear the music.
Yep, great information. Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. And again, his website, bygl.osu.edu. Thanks to all of our callers. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks, of course, to Danny Gleason, the Durango Kid, our producer, because without Danny, none of this stuff would happen. So, Dan, always, as always, thank you very much for all that you do. Now, do yourself a favor. Fall's right around the corner. Where are you going to plant more trees, more native plants, more pollinator plants? Do that right now. Get out there. Plant some milkweed. Get the kids involved with gardening. Pamper your worms. And by all means, make it the best weekend of your life. See ya.
Or not, Ron can help at 1-800-823-TALK. This is In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.